Today's lesson, and welcome to the Fellowship Hour on our Ignite series, is challenging your belief systems and back to the Bible. You know, the only way we can truly challenge our belief systems is to go back to the Bible. You know, so what does Bible mean to us? Well, I am going to share a few thoughts here this morning. We're going to talk around the our belief systems. We're going to also look at, you know, the Bible. What does the Bible say about whatever it is that you believe? You know, that's our lesson today. Whatever it is, that you believe, what does the Bible say about that? You know, so it's a good thing to always double check everything by the Bible. You know, sometimes we don't, and we just take all these traditions that have been handed over to us down through the ages. Sometimes we don't even stop to think, because, you know, we didn't really think that it, you know, there was any need. You know, so we just take it the way it is. But sometimes, occasionally, you may hear something that may challenge your belief system. And when you do, it's a good time to, that's a good opportunity for you to check the Word of God. You know, so I see some people have posted their favorite acronyms for Bible, you know. So let me check what everybody's posting here. Basic instruction, before leaving Earth, and so on. Okay, mine is the Basic Instruction Book for Living Every Day. Hallelujah. And I think I've taught that in this room before. I see that Sister Mary posted something very close to that. Basic Instruction for Better Living Every Day. Well, you know, that's good. You know, so we have many ways that people think of this Bible. You know, I love acronyms. They're just kind of fun ways to try to remember things. You know, so I always love to use acronyms. You know, so that, you know, it can help my memory sometimes. But what is a belief system? You know, what is a belief system? And what are your beliefs? You know, I mean, anybody who is a believer must of necessity believe something. You know, that's why you're called a believer. You know, and even the devil himself, according to James chapter 2 and verse 19, the devil himself believes that there is one God, and he trembles. You know, so we covered the oneness of the Godhead yesterday. Now, there are many things that we often just carry on in traditions. You know, Jesus, when he came, he loved to challenge, you know, the traditions. I mean, you say, look, you make the Word of God void, you know, because of your traditions. You hold the traditions even more than the Word of God. I mean, the, you know, those Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, and the Jews in general, because of the way their leaders taught them, they were more particular with traditions, you know, that they've held over a long time, such as washing of hands and pots and feet and this and that. You know, one time they challenged Jesus and said, well, you know, we wash our hands before we eat. I mean, everybody else does. Well, your disciples just eat without washing their hands. Why? You know, why are you not, you know, following our traditions? And Jesus said, well, why are you not following the Word of God? Praise the Lord. You know, so I love the way that Jesus used to talk to, you know, the Jews back then, you know, whenever they had these things. So let's look at a few things. I'm not going to cover all of our belief systems. It's not really everything that you believe, even if though they were wrong, they may not necessarily all have eternal consequences. You know, so, I mean, some people believe this way, some people believe that way on some things that are irrelevant. As far as I'm concerned, you know, there's no issues. But on pie voter things that have to do with the, you know, foundation of our faith and that can, you know, lead us either in the right direction or in the wrong direction, we better get it straight. You know, so, you know, if you believe that you should only eat herbs, another person say, well, I can eat meat. One person believes in honoring one day above another day. Another person believes in honoring all days alike. You know, all those things, I don't worry too much about those things. Believe anything you want in those areas. You know, the Bible says, look, let every man be persuaded in his own heart, whatever you want to do. You want to celebrate a day? You don't want to celebrate a day. You want to eat vegetables only? You want to eat meat? You know, fine. However, whether you eat or don't eat, we're told that doesn't commend you unto God. You know, what commends you unto God is the posture of faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. You know, so I'm not going to spend time on those smaller things. You know, Jesus himself said, look, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You know, the little things, you know, why don't you take care of the more serious things? You don't need to neglect the other, but, you know, focus more on the more important things. So I'm not going to worry about little things and so forth, but there are some major things we dealt with, you know, some of those in the last couple of days. There are major things, you know, that we need to believe about who God is. We dealt with that. One God and Father of us all, you know. But I want to just broaden this as we round up this series to just about how our belief systems can actually affect you from understanding what the Lord is saying or even from receiving something from the Lord. You know, so that's when it becomes dangerous. You know, when your belief system is actually becomes a hindrance, you know, to you. You know, that's where we got to really watch out. You know, I will talk about just a few things to help us, you know, get the point. The devil is a master at this, you know, try to, you know, make you change the way you believe the God's, you know, God's word. Well, he started at the beginning. He was very cunning. He went to Eve and said, well, has God said, you know, you shall not eat of every tree that is in the garden? God didn't say that. God said, of every tree you may freely eat, but except, you know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what God said. But the devil comes in and say, well, did God say that you should not eat of every tree? You know, so he confused the word a little bit, twist it up a little bit, mix a little leaven in there, you know, leaven the whole lump and change it up a bit. Make them doubt, make her doubt the integrity of God's word, you know, all of that. Now, sometimes when we go down the wrong path in believing something that is a myth rather than the word of God, it may be a cunning effort from the devil to make you miss the mark. So these are the ones that we really want to be concerned about. Now, there are many things that have been taught and retaught, learned and relearned over the years in your personal life that may not necessarily be according to the word of God. So the first thing is this. Challenge yourself. The Bible says it. It said, look, examine your own self. Whether you be in the faith, whether like the way I like to put it is challenge what you believe, whether it's according to the word of God, you know. Now, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 is my favorite verse on this subject. You know, it says, look, to the law and the testimony, that means back to the Bible, you know, back to the word of God. If whatever it is that is being presented or that you're hearing or learning or have learned is not according to the word, then it's because there is no light in that thing. You know, so that's Isaiah 8:20. a very basic principle helping us to understand what we should believe or should not believe. You know, now, people will believe a lie more easily sometimes than believing the truth. Jesus said, look, I came in my Father's name, you receive me not. Another will come in his own name, then him you will receive. I mean, Jesus said, look, I came to give you the truth, you reject it, but you will believe a lie. And the Lord said, look, in the book of Romans and so on, he said, because these people have chosen to not receive the truth, therefore God will send them strong delusion that they may believe a lie. You know, and at the end of the age, we're also warned that, look, there will be, you know, seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. Now, a seduction is subtle. If you are trying to poison someone and you serve them a bottle that says poison, you put it in front of them, they're not going to take it. You know, so the devil, he knows that. He's too smart for that. He's not going to serve you something that says poison, because he knows you're not going to fall for it. So what he's going to do, what's he going to do? Well, he's going to take 3 measures of meal and then 1 measure of leaven and mix it up and then serve it. And then you'll never see that the leaven was inside of it. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman, you know, that took a measure of leaven, mixed it up in 3 measures of meal until the whole thing was all mixed up. Now, some people think that that's a good parable. No, that's not a good parable. That's not a parable illustrating, you know, the good part of the kingdom. You know, this kingdom is mixed with good, bad, and ugly. And Jesus told it most of the time, let them both grow together. You know, so until the harvest time, mixed up the good, the bad, the ugly. But the one I want to focus more on today is the, you know, a measure of leaven that is mixed up in 3 measures of meal. And notice the ratio, you know, so it's not all leaven and it's not all wheat either. So the trick is you just get a little bit of leaven inside, you know. That's why the Bible says a little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. So let's look at this parable in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Now, Matthew chapter 13 is filled with, you know, several parables that Jesus gave about the kingdom. And some of them illustrate various points about the kingdom. Well, this one, you know, he said, well, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. This is Matthew 13 and verse 33, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, Jesus didn't interpret this parable. Some parables he interpreted, some he didn't. He just left it out there. Now, so people have interpreted this parable every which way. Some people actually say, yeah, the gospel is going to, you know, penetrate, infiltrate the lives of people. And so it has nothing to do with what Jesus was talking about here. Every use of the word leaven in the Bible is bad. In fact, one time Jesus told disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought he was talking about bread because they hadn't taken bread when they were entering into the boat and going for a journey. Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. So every time Jesus talked about leaven, it was not a good thing. So beware of leaven because, you know, you don't need, you know, I mean, women that bake and everything like that, you know that, you know, you don't need a whole lot of leaven. All you need is a little bit. You put a little yeast in the thing to make it rise and so forth. You know, this is the reason why even when we do the, you know, representation of breaking of bread, it should be done with unleavened bread, you know, because the scripture says that you know, we are, maybe that might be another myth that I should debunk today. Because the scripture says that we should purge out, therefore, the old leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, for ye are unleavened. So every time you see leaven, it's never a good thing. Get rid of it. That's what the Bible is saying. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So you see, the comparisons here, leaven is never a good thing. You get rid of the leaven. So this parable in Matthew 13 and 33 is not talking about anything good. It's talking about, you know, a ploy and cunning, crafty way that the devil slips in some untruth, mix it up with the truth, serve it up to the people. You know, that's it. You know, so be careful of what you believe. Be careful of your belief systems. You know, so let's check out some of them. We tackled a few in the last couple of days. Let's look at how belief systems can actually affect us. There is a lesson that I have given multiple times, but since I'm on this subject, I'll give it again. And this lesson is found in John chapter 11. And most people know this story. And this is a story when Jesus arrives at the graveside of Lazarus, meets with Martha. There is something to be illustrated here in the belief system that Martha had in her mind and her head. You know, this was actually preventing her from catching what Jesus was saying. You know, and she had some belief system in her head, which was good, but that was not the present truth that Jesus was talking about. So, you know, Jesus said, look, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Let me go and wake him out of his sleep. Everybody, even the disciples, you know, thought that he was talking of something else. But in any case, Jesus said, look, Lazarus is dead. For your sakes, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you might believe. You know, so believe what? Well, that Christ can raise the dead even after they've been in their grave for 4 days. So when he got there, you know, he met Martha, of course, and he says to her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, listen to this conversation. Let's engage. Let's see how Martha and Jesus, you know, engage in this conversation. Now, let's play along. John 11, you know, verse 21. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Now, that's good. That's a good thing. This is really part of using the word of God, like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, using the word of God to divide between your soul and your spirit. That's a good thing, which she started on here. Because the Bible says that the word of God can divide and separate between the spirit and the soul. What does that mean? Well, the soul is where all the emotions are. You know, God's word is not based on emotion, you know, but the emotion of fear, doubt, unbelief, joy, happiness, you know, all of that, you know, sometimes you believe, sometimes you don't believe. All that yo-yo stuff is in the soul. The spirit, on the other hand, is steadfast on the word of God. You know, so when situation faces you or you face situations, your soul will immediately start to go up and down. Sometimes you doubt, sometimes you believe, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're grieved, sometimes you're joyous, whatever it is. But if you can split that by the word of God and drop that word into your spirit and say, nevertheless, sir, that's the difference between the soul and the spirit. Peter said it in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus said, cast your net over to this side and let it down for a draught. And Peter said, look, we've been doing this thing all night. We caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, you know, first in his soul, you know, it's like, look, we've been doing this and we're good at this stuff. The fish are not biting today. There's no fish. But then he remembered that it's the master that is speaking. So he used the word of God to divide his spirit from his emotions. You know, now that's a nevertheless situation. Now, there's a nevertheless situation here with Martha and Jesus. And she started out on the right path. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. I know you would have been able to prevent him from dying. Even the people said, could not this man that opened the eyes of the blind could have prevented this man from dying? Well, that's the reason why Jesus didn't go on time. He wanted to show them that not only could he, you know, heal somebody that is in the process of dying, he could actually bring somebody out of the grave that's already dead. He needed to show that to them. You know, so, but what happened? Well, and as Jesus began to talk to her, I said, look, thy brother shall rise again. Now, let's check out the impact of Martha's belief system. Your brother shall rise again, is what Jesus said. But what did Martha, how did Martha respond in verse 24 of John 11? Well, Martha said, I know, this is her belief system kicking in now. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know that. So her belief system has kicked in now. This is what she has been taught. You know, she believes, you know, if even the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. It's only the Sadducees that don't believe. Pharisees believe in all of that. You know, so they say, well, you know, so they've been taught these things, you know, by the elders and, you know, leaders of the church or their religious system. And so she believed it. And so that kicked in. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Glory to God. That's a great thing. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus wasn't talking about, you know, some resurrection in some future time. So he had to bring her back. I am the resurrection and the life. Right here, right now. I'm not talking about the other thing. See? Now, check out this. Play this out in your mind. In her mind, she definitely believes her brother will rise again. But Jesus was talking about something else. You know, so what she believed was actually, the way her belief system was working was actually preventing her from engaging what Christ was saying in the now. This is the part that we need to challenge. Challenge your belief system. So Jesus finally tells her, look, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So Jesus had to call her back. You know, now every believer believes that God can do great things. In fact, most believers believe that God can do everything. But the issue is though, our belief system is always putting those things either in the past or in the future. God did great things in the past. We've read them in the Bible. God's going to do great things in the future. Well, some great revival is coming. We are going the translation. All these things. You know, there's always something that's past or something that's future. But what about right now? You know, do you believe God in the moment, right now? Well, we all believe that God can raise the dead. Everybody. Most believers believe that. We've read in the Bible, we've heard of it and so forth. But, you know, God forbid that there should be a death in that family. Will you embrace God in that moment? Or will you say, well, we'll see them again in the resurrection? See, that's the thing. The belief system will kick in and say, well, you know, it's appointed unto men once to die anyway. Now, that's another myth that we need to debunk. And I will debunk that here today. It's appointed unto men who wants to die, you know, and all of that. So, well, so they're dead. We'll see them in the resurrection. The belief system will kick in and they won't believe it. That's why when we were teaching on faith specs, those of you who have heard it, I talked about the difference between S being searching the scriptures, P being be persuaded of it, E being embraced, and C confess. There's a difference between being persuaded and embracing. Being persuaded, everybody is persuaded that God can do everything, but when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, like they say, We don't embrace it for the situation. Yes, we believe God can raise the dead. Yes, Martha believed that, you know, this man will come out of the grave at some point in the future, but she could not. Her belief system had so trained her to expect that somebody that died, that's it. They're gone. There's nothing else that can happen. If God got to them before they died, fine. But since now they are dead and they are in the grave, that's it. We'll just have to wait until the resurrection, which we know they will come out of the grave and we'll see them again. So that's their belief system. That was her belief system. And it was preventing her from catching the revelation that Jesus was putting forth right here. Now, the mercy and grace of God. Jesus had something that he wanted to do anyway, to show the disciples something. Otherwise, Lazarus might not have come out of the grave because she wasn't believing that. But Jesus, you know, his purpose at that time was superior, you know, to even Martha's issues. So he just overlooked that, went forth and did what he needed to do anyway. But, you know, every time that Jesus asked her something, when he said, look, do you believe this? Listen to how she answered. You know, Jesus is talking about, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? But look at the way she answered. Well, I know, you know, first she said, I know that he will rise in resurrection. Now she says, well, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. Is that what Jesus was asking? Do you believe that somebody can live and not die? And do you believe that somebody that had died can come back to life? This is what Jesus was asking. But she just stating her own belief system. Well, I know you are the Christ. And I know that, you know, this son, you are the Son of God. And so, you know, but Jesus just had mercy upon her, you know, mercy upon her because he wanted to show the disciples something. But if you truly believe, if she had truly believed what Jesus was saying, you know, she would have latched on to it rather than just dance around the bush. You know, so that's the danger that that's the danger that we face when we are not aligning ourselves with what God is saying for the moment. And the problem is the belief system that we have preventing us from understanding what the Lord is saying. So that's a serious case that we can look at there. But at the end of the day, because of the mercy of God, Jesus brought Lazarus out of the grave anyway. But here's what he said to her, you know, again, in that conversation. Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, Martha said unto him, Lord, by now he stinketh. He had been dead 4 days. She's still not catching the fact that Jesus is talking about raising Lazarus from the dead right now, rather than in some resurrection in the future. So, well, she's already stinking by now. He's been in there for 4 days. Yeah, and Jesus said, look, didn't I say unto you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? You know, step aside. Glory to God. You know, Jesus used to love to put those unbelievers out of the way, you know, get them out of there, you know, and so forth. So he can do what he wants to do. Well, step aside now, you know, so, and then he brought Lazarus out of the grave. You know it. But you see how dangerous her belief system was, almost prevented that miracle. If not for the grace of God, that God wanted to do, I mean, Jesus needed to do what he was going to do. Otherwise, she would have missed that opportunity to receive her brother back to life. So that's the danger of the belief system that is not accurate. You know, now, I want every one of us challenge, what do you believe about God raising the dead? You know, what do you believe about that? I mean, you believe that God can raise the dead during the so-called translation that's coming, which sometimes people call the rapture. We know God can do that, you know, and everybody believes that. But is that the extent to your belief on God raising the dead? Can he raise the dead now? Did Jesus say to the disciples, go and preach the gospel, you know, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead? Now, why is that not happening? Well, because we have channeled our understanding into believing that once people die, you know, that's it. You know, we just have to wait until we see them during the translation, you know, and there's nothing more we can do or they are dead. Well, that's not according to the scriptures. Jesus has proved here that it didn't matter whether they are dead fresh or been stinking in the grave, makes the Lord no difference at all. He can call them forth just the same, you know. So, but when we do not understand that, well, people say, well, it is appointed unto man once to die. So let's talk about that. That's another myth, you know, that we need to debunk. In Hebrews chapter 9, you know, verse 27, what does it really mean? Is it what people think? Is that what it really means? Or what is the scripture saying? You know, the scripture is talking about something else. So let's read it carefully. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. He says, you know, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This scripture is not saying that everybody will die. It's saying that as it is appointed to you once to die, and after that comes judgment. You know, for those who die, after that comes judgment. This is what the scripture is saying. People take this to mean that, well, everybody will die, that everybody will go through. No, the scripture clearly says, you know, that we shall not all sleep. Hallelujah. But we shall all be changed. Now, people say, look, it's appointed unto men once to die. You can only die once. Well, that's actually not true. You know, you can die many times until you get the new resurrected body. The new resurrected body is the one that cannot die again. You know, Lazarus, whom God raised from the dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead, he died again. You know, because Jesus did not receive and raise him up in the resurrected body. There are many people that were raised up in the Bible. You know, Elijah raised people, Elisha, all of them, you know, Jesus, many of those people, they all died again because they were not raised up in their resurrected body. But when you are, because Jesus was the first fruits of that. Now, when you are raised up in the resurrected body, you cannot die again. You know, so to say that, oh, people can only die once, that's even not true. There are people who have died, raised up, and died again. You know, so even in our contemporary times, you know, there's stories like that. People who were raised from death at one point in time, and they lived several years, and eventually they later died. So that means they've died more than once. You know, so this, you know, debunking this one that says that, you know, everybody must die once, it's not even true. There's no such thing in the Bible. What he's saying is that for those that die, after they die, then comes the judgment. That's what he's saying. Now, you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we learn that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, this is a belief system that people need to add to their belief system, because some people don't believe this anymore, you know, that we shall not all die. Everybody says, you know, we shall all die. It's what they say. Yet, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, it's a mystery. It's not plain. That's why it's a mystery. You know, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Ha! Glory to God. And then those of us who are, you know, alive, remain cut up. You know, we shall all be changed. Now, people don't believe that anymore. You know, they said, even Adam, you know, when his children would have asked him the question, hey, what's up with those cherubim there with the flaming sword? And he said, well, you know, God drove us out so we couldn't touch the tree of life. You can't go back in there. No. Well, what happens next? Well, we're just waiting to die. But God said we would die. So from that point on, everybody has been waiting to die. From that point on. But not one guy. When Enoch came along, he heard the same stories that all the others, you know, Enoch was number 7. So all the others that were ahead of him, they heard the same stories. But when Enoch came around, he challenged that posture of we're waiting to die. God, that's what Adam said. We're waiting to die. God said we would die. Well, we're just waiting to die, you know, and so we're doomed. Enoch said, you know, I don't know about that one, but did you ask for forgiveness? Did you fall on your face? You're just waiting to die? I mean, and he said, well, he said it, and his word cannot be changed. We're waiting to die. Yeah, but this man, Enoch, something triggered inside of him and said, well, you know, that's what you think, is that we are all going to die, but, you know, I'm going to pursue the Lord. And when he began to pursue the Lord, we know what happened. Till this day, Enoch is still alive. Glory to God. Well, you know, I don't know how the transformation came. Well, actually, the Lord has showed me some things about that, but that's not my subject today. But somehow, he changed his belief system from we're waiting to die to, well, you know, I'm going to pursue God. I'm not worried about whether I'm going to die or not, but I'm going to pursue God and see what I find out. So he challenged that, and he found out that, look, it's actually possible, you know, it's possible to be translated without seeing death. Hallelujah. You know, well, nobody was teaching that in his days. Nobody believed it. Everybody was waiting to die. But by faith, Enoch, and began to pursue God, he found out something that nobody else knew. Glory to God. So, that's today's lesson. Challenge your belief system. Challenge your belief system. What are you believing? Is it according to the scriptures? Well, let's take a look at a story here of a man that was waiting for the stirring of the water by the pool in John chapter 5. You know, the culture and the tradition at the time was that God would send an angel at a certain season. Nobody knew when, so they camped out when they thought that the time was getting near. They go, all of them camped out. A great number of impotent folk were told. Everybody waiting for the angel to come in there and stir the pool. And whoever gets in first, after the water, if you get in too soon, it doesn't work. If you get in too late, somebody got in ahead of you, it doesn't work for you. And so you got to time it right. Got to be the first person to step into that water after the moving of the water, and then you will be healed, no matter the sickness. So that was the tradition. And God, it was the mercy of God in those days, you know, to them. But they had to wait a long time. You know, each season, they don't know. They have to wait. So this man also came. Year after year, he waited. Every time he tried to get in there, it was too slow. Somebody got in ahead of him. But he kept coming. So Jesus steps upon the scene and says, man, would thou be made whole? So Jesus is going to challenge the man's belief system. Would you like to be made whole? The man said, are you kidding me? What kind of question is that? I'm coming here every day. We're camping out here, waiting for the angel, waiting for the moving of the water. And he's asking me whether I want to be made. Of course I want to be made whole, but I'm too slow. Somebody gets in ahead of me. And Jesus said, look, I'm not talking about the angel. I'm not talking about the water. I'm just asking you a simple question. Would you like to be made whole? Glory to God. You know, so this man's belief system was actually preventing him from catching what Jesus was trying to convey. Jesus said, look, forget the water, forget the angel. I'm asking you now, would you like to be made whole? And of course, this man didn't see how it could be. But the only way that he was going to be made whole, that he knew, was that he had to be the first person to get into the pool after the moving of the water by the angel. And he thought it would never happen. But he kept hoping anyway. You know, so his belief system had trained his eyes to focus on the water and on the angel. But Jesus is trying to get his attention away from that. Just because that's the way God has been doing it before, doesn't mean that's the way he's going to do it now. Challenge your belief system. You know, it doesn't have to be about the angel or the water or the pool or this or that. Jesus is right here. So Jesus said, look, forget that one. You don't need an angel. You don't need a water. You don't need a pool. You don't need anything. Today is your day. Take up your bed. Glory to God. Walk. My goodness. Now, that blew everything out of the water. It blew the whole angel's theory, the whole standing of water and all that. It blew all of that. For years, this man had been coming. We don't know how many of those 38 years that he had been coming, but he had an infirmity 38 years under the whatever belief system that he had held onto, that the only way that he could be healed was this way. Jesus blew all that out of the water. That was that very moment. That's right. Sometimes you have to get rid of some of those belief systems that's hindering us. Here's another story. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you read this story in from chapter verses 8 to 15. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 8 to 15. That was a story, you know. The king of Israel, I mean, the king of Syria and so forth, you know, he said, look, somebody told on this man who was captain, chief of army staff or somebody called your Naaman, said, look, you know, if you are in Israel, you know, somebody there will heal you. So they sent Naaman over there. King did, sent to the king because he thought he had to be the king. King of Israel puts ashes on his head and says, who am I? You know, I mean, this man is trying to find fault with me. Why is he sending this man to heal? Am I God that can heal? So Elisha hears of it. He says, send him to me. And they will know that there's a God in Israel. So he sends the man to Elisha. You know, the man comes out to Elisha. Elisha did not even go out to meet him. He just sends his servant, you know, said, tell the man to go and wash deep 7 times in River Jordan and he'll be clean. This man had leprosy all over his skin. The man was furious. He said, look, I thought, now this is a belief system coming in here. We've heard that you guys can heal, but I thought you come out here, you call upon the name of your God. You jump up and down, you strike the leper on the forehead, you raise, you know, put your hand on me, you say some incantation words or whatever, and then you heal the leper. I mean, I thought that's what you're going to do. You tell me to go and wash in some pool? Come on. I mean, aren't there rivers better in my country than this, you know, River Jordan that I should go and wash there and be clean? It's belief system. He thought, you know, you got to do it this way. You got to come out, jump up and down, scream and shout, lay hand on the leper, scream to your God, call upon this and that. But the man just told him something else. And he wouldn't do it. He was furious. And he went away. But thank God one of his servants, you know, some of his servants went to him and said, look, you know, calm down now. You know, if this man had asked you to do some great thing, like give a great offering, or do you to be healed, wouldn't you have done it? You would have done it. But if he told you, just because he told you something that seemed foolish, you know, you wouldn't believe it. What do you got to lose? So they spoke to the man, you know, and so he calmed down. Reluctantly, he calmed down. He wanted to do it. And just like the prophet said, his skin came back like a baby's skin, clean. Now, but you see how his belief system could have prevented him from getting that miracle. You know, because he was expecting the man to come out here and do this and do that and do the other thing, you know. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the same thing with us today. And what is it that you're believing? You know, I mean, do you actually believe, you know, that if you believe in Christ and you are living, that you don't have to taste of death? Or do you believe that all of us must die? You know, it was appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. There are many people that are living now that believe that. We're all waiting to die. I'm not waiting around to die. I'm waiting for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life every day. Not waiting around to die. I shall not die, but I shall live. Why should I be waiting around to die for? You know, but we shall not all sleep. Hallelujah. We shall all be changed. Now, it is a portion of some to sleep. It's a portion of some to not sleep. But if the Lord were to come, you know, in our generation, which we believe will be the case, then there will be some of us that will still be alive anyway. It's not even far-fetched to think that if the Lord comes now, some people will still be living. Paul said that. He said, those who are alive and remain in the faith, you know, shall be caught up to meet with them in the air. You know, so it's not a far-fetched thing. Now, what's far-fetched is that you can believe that even if the Lord did not come in your generation, that the, you know, that death is not the only way to leave the earth. Now that, you know, can drive people off of this room. If I go down that path, maybe nobody will show up tomorrow. You know, but ladies and gentlemen, let me call it out. You know, death is not the only way to leave this earth. We've seen it in the Bible. God has left himself a witness. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Elijah went in the chariots of fire. So we see that at least two witnesses he left himself. And Christ has tasted death for every man. So for those that say, you know, we must all die, well, Christ has tasted death for every man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually possible, you know, if you get translated into light or transformed into light, to be infused into that light and go, just like Enoch. Now, that is a lesson which nobody wants to hear. It's, they call it blasphemy or fallacy or whatever. But in this Bible, that's why you got to go back to the Bible. You know, there is nothing in this Bible that says that we should all be waiting to die. Nothing. So challenge that belief system. You know, let the life also of Jesus Christ be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The life of Christ running through our mortal body. Now, you know, though this outward man perish, inside were renewed. And Jesus didn't call it death anyway. He called it sleeping. You know, they didn't understand that. He said, well, if he's sleeping, he shall do well. So, okay, fine. He's dead, but I'm going to raise him up so that you may believe. You know, so what is it that we are believing? Can you believe God? You know, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. You know, can you believe God for anything? Maybe not. Because our belief systems are so channeled us into certain areas that we really can't believe God for everything like that. You know, so what is your belief system and how are you believing God on whatever it is that you're trying to believe God for? Challenge your belief system. You know, sometimes when we're believing God for something and something is not happening, along the lines that we're believing God for, it could be your belief system that's preventing you. So let's go back to the Bible. Basic instruction book for living every day. You know, not before we leave her. You know, that's the other thing too. you know, the acronym basic instruction book before leaving earth. This is what we've heard for years. So that's the other thing. You know, the believers, when they come into the Lord today, we are being taught to focus on leaving earth. You know, give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. This is what we are being taught. This is what the church is preaching. Give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. Jesus is coming soon. Give your life to Christ so you can go to heaven. You know, so people just give their life to Christ and waiting to go to heaven. And, you know, it's one of two ways. When you die, you can go to heaven. When Jesus comes in the rapture, you can go to heaven. But there is a big truth that is being missed. Jesus didn't pray the Father to take anybody to heaven after they got converted. He didn't. In fact, he prayed the opposite in John chapter 17. Say, Father, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but keep them from the wicked one. They've got a job to do. Now, if Jesus wants us to go to heaven, if that was his primary goal, then he would have prayed the Father, as soon as they believe in me, bring them to heaven. But that's not what he prayed. Don't take them from the world, is what he said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, challenge your belief system with that. You know, do you believe that that's the prayer that Jesus prayed? And what do you think it means? Why did Jesus pray the Father to say, don't take them away from the world? Why not? Why don't you just take them from the world? John chapter 17 and verse 15. Why don't you just take them away from the world? Well, this is the reason why many believers are so powerless. Their life is not fulfilling their mission as ambassadors for the kingdom of God right now. Because we're just waiting to go to heaven. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. You know, right now, right here, you will receive the endowment of power and you will demonstrate that kingdom right here, right now. And people will want to come and be a part of it. Now, there's coming a time for go to heaven. But, you know, this is the problem. We're always dealing in either in the past or in the future. And many people have no fulfillment in their life right now because they're just waiting to go to heaven. What's that all about? Occupy until I come. And how do you occupy? Well, let your light so shine. You know, bring in everlasting righteousness. You know, show and demonstrate the power of God. How God anointed Christ with power and the Holy Ghost who went about doing good. Hallelujah. You know, let's just not sit around waiting for the rapture or sit around waiting to die. What good does that do? Let's go and do the works that Jesus said. Go and preach the kingdom. See, people are not preaching the kingdom. That's why they don't understand this. But we're just preaching, you know, go to heaven. That's not the kingdom. A kingdom of God is here. Hallelujah. And Jesus is going to knock off the train of iniquity. He's going to knock it off the track. That's what he came to do. He said he came that he might destroy the works of that devil. And he's going to show, hallelujah, he's going to show that there are people. That's right. Because that's the contest that's going on. You know, the devil says they can't do it. The Father said, well, I'll show you somebody who will do it. So Christ came and did it. Well, the devil said, well, that was Christ. You know, none of the others can do it. And Jesus stands, you know, right there, you know, at his role of intercessor and said, I'll show you two that they will do it. Glory to God. They will do it because they will be conformed to my image. And they will do just like I did. Hallelujah. Devil said, we'll see about that. None of them will do it. They will die. I'll kill them with death. I'll do all of these things. They won't be able to do it. In fact, I will just give them all kinds of distractions. They won't understand what they should be doing. And the Lord said, well, you may try, but the hour is coming. And the Lord said, and now is that I will stir up in a chosen elect group, bestowing in them the things of the kingdom. and they will stand up and they will represent. Glory to God. And this contest is going on. And God is saying to the devil, well, I'm going to show you who's going to have the last laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson for today. Will you challenge your belief system? There are many more things that we could cover, but I'm going to leave it there. Challenge your belief system. Anything that you believe, is it according to the word of God? Really? But the problem is, many people don't read the word of God for themselves. They just leave it up to some preacher, some pastor, some prophet, some apostle, some man of God, some woman of God to tell it to them. This is the problem. This was the problem with the children of Israel. They told Moses, you go hear it from God and come tell it to us. Read it yourself. And here is the thing that the Lord is going to, all of us are going to have to deal with. You see, when you, on the day that you have to give accounting, the Lord will say, what did you do with my word? Because you know, himself said, look, it is the word that I have spoken that I will judge. So what did you do with my word? Why did you not trust my word for that thing? You know, why did you not go back to the word of God and check it out? Remember, he warned them. He said, look, if you allow blind leaders to lead you and you yourself are blind, then both of you will fall in the ditch. Jesus told the people. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell it to you this way. You know, you are not both going to fall into the ditch. Even if your leader is blind, you don't have to be blind. Both of you must be blind in order for you to fall into the ditch. Well, you can choose not to be blind. Jesus said, anoint your eyes with eyes of and be not blind. And then you won't fall into the ditch, even though your leader was blind. That's right. So only the blind leading the blind will fall into the ditch together. Now, if the blind leader is blind or the leader is blind and the one being led is not blind, they will not both fall into the ditch. So, let's open our eyes wide. Let's find out instruction from the Bible for ourselves. Don't take my word for it. You know, be like the Bereans. You know, because they went and checked those things out to see whether those things were so. Check it out from the word of God and see whether it is so. And if it's not so, discard it quickly. Don't even mess with it. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The moment you take something that is not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you allow it into your system, the next thing you know, a little leaven mixed up and leavens the whole lump. So get rid of anything that even looks like leaven. If it smells like leaven, it is leaven. If something smells like a rat, there is a rat in there. If something smells fishy, there is something fishy in there. So, you know, if it doesn't, you know, get rid of it. But how do you know? Well, have your senses exercise to discern good and evil. How do you exercise your senses? Read and study the word of God and engage him in the spirit and ask for instruction daily. Remember, that's his role. The Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13. That's what he does. Guide you into all truth. So I'm going to leave this lesson there. Conclude by saying we have been doing this Ignite series following our convocation week. The goal of the Ignite series is to put us into razor sharpness. That's right. Now God has this, you know, pruning hook in his hand. He's also got this chisel. You know, he's got a sift. He's got so many things. Sifting some things, chiseling some things, pruning some things, doing all of these things, you know, just so that we can be the way he wants us to be. Many excesses, many things that we must cut off, that God must deal with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and he's doing exactly that. And as we patiently listen to him, deal with the pride of our heart. You know, some people are so proud in their heart, they won't take correction. That's not going to get us anywhere. Deal with the pride of your heart. Just humble yourself, you know, under the mighty hand of God. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and check it out. See whether it aligns with the word of God. See whether the Spirit of God bears witness in your spirit when you are reading the word of God that, wow. You know, people said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we heard those things? Hallelujah. You know that this is true. And if you don't, check it out. But if you do, then give yourself wholly to them. That's what Paul told Timothy. So give yourself wholly to these things. Do nothing by partiality. You know, give yourself wholly unto them, that you may make your profiting appear unto all. I pray that God will, you know, enlarge our minds in the things of God. Enrich your spirit in discerning truth. And what is truth? Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Discerning and understanding and learning to hear from the Lord. Getting away from distractions. These are all the things we've talked about over the last few days. Getting away from distractions and things that try to derail you from the track and going back to the word of God. One thing that will set apart the elective bride at the end is that they will be the word bride. We will be the word bride. We are the word bride. We will not take the word of the devil like Eve did over the word of God. Absolutely not. We will take the word of the master. Hallelujah. We are purging out all the old leaven and we are staying with the word of God. And if anyone tells you anything that's not according to the word of God, it's because there is no light in them. So I want everybody to memorize Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 and always use it. Back to the word, to the law and the testimony. That means go back to the Bible. Check it out. If whatever you're hearing is not according to the word, there is no light in it. Just drop it. Drop it quickly. Don't even mess with it, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And we, in order for us to be infused into that light, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we ourselves must expunge all traces of darkness. And that means get rid of things, traditions and things that do not align with the word of God. Debunk all those things. Stay with the word. Hallelujah. Stay with the word. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson today. And I hope you've been enjoying this Ignite series. If you missed any part of it, go back to the replays and check it out. Thank God that the replays are working again after this new upgrade. So go back, check it out, and God will most certainly bless your heart. Father, I pray over the room, the word of God that we have heard, let it not be a witness against us, but let it be a light, even a lamp to our path, our feet, and a light to our path. We give you, Lord, praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.